You are in for a treat today, because I packed up a recorder, drove 12 hours, and headed to the Magic Kingdom. The best part is you get to come along for the ride as well. Today you will hear live recordings from the Magic Kingdom as I share my thoughts and opinions on what it is like to be in the reopened theme park. Plus, you get to hear the background music and atmosphere of one of your favorite places. It is a good one today on WDW Opinion. Hello, Opinioneer, and welcome to episode number 94 of the WDW Opinion podcast. My name is Connor Brown, and I am a former Walt Disney World cast member and a Disney World expert whose passion is to help you plan for and daydream about your next perfect Walt Disney World vacation. I do that by sharing opinions through my blog, podcast, book, during the WDW Opinion live show every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, in the Opinioneers online community, and so much more. Head over to WDWOpinion.com to learn more about all the stuff we've got going on. If you're a new listener here, feel free to go back and check out all of our old podcast episodes covering a wide variety of Disney-related topics. And you can subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. Thank you so much for being here. And if you continue to enjoy the show, please consider sharing it with a friend you think might enjoy it as well. I know you're eager to get to the good stuff, so enough with the small talk. In this episode, I am bringing you into the Magic Kingdom to share my thoughts, opinions, and experiences with you. We will walk around the park as I discuss the procedures in place you need to follow, the atmosphere of the park, and how the guests and cast members appear to be acting, and then I'll share who I think should be traveling down to the parks right now. So, let's go into the Magic Kingdom. This past weekend, it was a really good weekend for me, because I was lucky enough to drive down to Orlando and spend some time in the Magic Kingdom. And actually, I plan on being here in Orlando for a while, so I will be visiting all the Walt Disney World theme parks in due time. But like any true Disney fan, I knew the first theme park I had to visit post-pandemic closures had to be in the Magic Kingdom. Walt Disney World is a very important place to me. It is so much more than just attractions and characters. It's a place where I feel like I belong. I have so many great memories there, and the impact it has had on my life is immeasurable. I mean, I started a blog and a podcast about it, for crying out loud. Of all the theme parks of Walt Disney World, Magic Kingdom, that place holds a special place in my heart. Because it is, of course, the original Walt Disney World theme park, but it's also the theme park I worked in when I was a cast member at the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And I mean, it's the Magic Kingdom. It's the most magical place out there. So I was excited to get back to my happy place, but I was also intrigued by how different it would look with all these new guidelines and procedures in place. I knew it had to be the first park I experienced, but I also knew I couldn't leave my fellow Opinioneers out to dry. I had to bring them along for the ride. Over the last few months, I don't know about you guys, but I have been craving Walt Disney World probably more than any other time in my life. It's been such a weird time in the world, and I really just wanted a place of comfort. And I know you were probably feeling the same way about it as well, which is why I thought it was so important to bring you along for the ride. So I grabbed my recorder, and I headed into the park. Now, this was the first time I had recorded in the parks, and it was a new recording setup as well. Plus, I'm also talking through a mask, so that can muffle things up a bit. Overall, I think the audio came out really great, and I think the audio is going to do a really good job of helping capture the magic and atmosphere of the park. I think it did a great job doing that. But listen, just cut Connor here some slack, because at times it might get a little wonky, but it's still going to be an awesome listen. I was excited to be able to take you into the parks with me. But before we start, I want you to do something with me, an exercise with me of sorts. I want you to close your eyes. As long as you aren't driving, please, if you're driving, for the love of God, keep those beepers open. But everyone else, close your eyes. Take a deep breath in and out. Picture yourself on Main Street, USA. You can see all the buildings. You can see Cinderella Castle in the distance. You watch as cast members interact with guests, and you notice how excited other guests are just to be there. Then you start to smell the smells. Popcorn, sweets from the confectionery, coffee from the bakery. And then slowly you start to hear the music of Main Street trickle in. You've transported yourself to the Magic Kingdom. You're in your happy place. And now, I'll take you along for a walk around it. Welcome back. Welcome home. I'm coming to you live from the Magic Kingdom, and it is so, so awesome to be back. A couple things about today. I'm going to take you around the park. I'm going to share my thoughts and opinions on everything that I've seen and done in the newly reopened theme park. I'm working with a new recorder I've never recorded in the parks, and I'm also talking through a mask, because that's the new normal. So the audio might be interesting, but I want to take you guys along for the ride. So you can hear the sight, you can't hear the sights, but you can hear the sounds of people having fun, of the atmosphere, and all that stuff. I'm just off Main Street, USA right now, in the Castle Hub area, overlooking Tomorrowland. There's so much I want to talk about, but I think we'll head over to Tomorrowland. We'll hear that techno music that I love so much. We'll pull off to the side and we'll have a quick talk about some of the procedures going on here. But I hope you guys enjoy. And here we go. We're at the Magic Kingdom. Hooray. So we just stopped off and we're kind of at a table in Tomorrowland, but just next to the Indy Speedway. So if you hear cars buzzing by, that's what that is. You still might hear some futuristic background noises. You still might hear the Star Jets going off, but I'm in Tomorrowland and it's awesome. It is so cool. To get things started, I wanted to talk about the procedures that are going on. And again, I apologize if you can't hear me too clearly. We got some noise. We got a new recorder, we got the masks as well. But the procedures when it comes to, for me, I drove in here today, and parking was interesting in the fact that they're social distancing the cars as well. So it'll go every other space a car will go in, and then once those people are exited out of their cars and they're on their way into the parks, then they'll go ahead and backfill all those spaces. So it can be a little tricky, but parking, like a lot of things, can be deceiving. It can look like a lot of people are there, but because only half of the spots are filled at a certain time, you know, there's not really that many people. I got here about 15 minutes before the park opened, and I parked in Aladdin 207. And just to say something, this is actually my second day here. This is a Saturday. Yesterday I came as well, the Friday. Friday less crowded, obviously, a weekday, but still not crowded at all, really. Yesterday I parked in Aladdin 204. Today I parked in Aladdin 207. Really not that big of a difference, and I got here at relatively the same time. So, but it's also nice being in 207 because you're so close to the TTC.
which is important because there's no trams happening, so you'll have to walk a little bit. Once you get into the TCC area, first thing that they make you do before anything else is temperature checks. And that was the easiest part of the entire process of my entire day. Temperature checks are administered by Advent Health, which is a local Florida health group. So it's not cast members doing it, which is good, because you know that they're an unbiased third party in a lot of ways. They're trained by healthcare providers. A lot of them are healthcare providers themselves. So all they do really is you step up to the line, they point the non-contact thermometer at your head, and whole process takes like 10 seconds. If you do hit that, I think it's 100 or something, 100.3 temperature or above, there's some cooling tents where you can cool down and try again a few minutes later. But that process is very easy. Now, bag checks and security, this process, it's a bit confusing. And Brendan and Catherine from Detour to Neverland talked about this process. Basically, what you have to do is there's no more bag line. It's just everyone goes through the same metal detectors here at the Magic Kingdom, at least. What you do is you take out anything that's, they say, metal objects larger than a cell phone. You're supposed to take that out of your bags and then put it in like a, you know, a tray, a bin that they slide at the end of the metal detector. And then you're supposed to take your bag and hold it to your chest. I guess this, you know, won't set off the metal detectors, but it's just a confusing process because you're talking to a security cast member who's wearing not only a mask, but a face guard as well, a plastic face guard. And so they're miming stuff to you. It's a new process for everyone. So that can be a bit tricky. Hopefully it gets a little bit better. But again, I mean, that whole process took, you know, 45 seconds of mild confusion, which is fine. You know, to get to the Magic Kingdom, I like to take the ferry boat. I just think it's a more peaceful journey into the Magic Kingdom. When it comes to the ferry boat, what they do is leading up to the dock, there are all these markers, and you and your party stand on one marker. Then when you get onto the ferry boat, there's a whole bunch of green markers there as well. During your journey, that's what you're required to do. You stand on the green marker with you and the rest of your party, and you don't move on the journey, meaning you don't move your feet at all. This is just for physical distancing purposes, and it's super easy. Then they unload the bottom level first, and then the top level. But those guys are great. Transportation and the boat captains, they're always some of the best, friendliest cast members, so they get what's going on. If you were to take the monorail, which I have done, I've taken the monorail back to the TTC, your party gets an entire cabin, basically. You know, if you know a monorail car, there are two cabins, two benches, and then you can look through to the other two benches. But basically, you'll get one cabin, and then in each car, each cabin is separated by a plastic drop-down divider. So it's cool because, you know, you have basically a cabin to yourself, depending upon the size of your party and things like that. But really, really simple, and I think all of this is just to say we're conditioned to know what's going on. We're conditioned to keep social distancing between each other. So you can, it might take a couple seconds to be like, whoa, what's going on? But when you see those dots, you understand this is it. My party has to stand here. We're going to stand here for the entire time of our journey, et cetera, et cetera. Once you get to the Magic Kingdom, the turnstiles, you know, for so long, we would tap our magic band, we would tap our cards, and then we'd put our finger down. The finger was a security measure just to make sure the person who, you know, first used the ticket has the ticket and it's not someone else. No longer do we have to touch our fingies to the turnstiles, at least for right now. You just touch your magic band, or you touch your plastic ticket card to the turnstile, Mickey goes green if you're good to go, and then you're boom, right in. And you know, all along the way, whether it's security, whether it's getting on the ferry boat, whether it's scanning your ticket, whether it's getting your temperature checks even, there are markers, 6 feet in front and 6 feet behind. So your party is required to stand on the marker, and then you just keep moving forward. When you're in the park, and the attraction lines are the same, and even the lines to get into the stores and restaurants are the same. The only store slash restaurant I've seen that has a line outside that you've actually had to like be required to wait a good bit while social distancing is Starbucks, the Main Street Bakery on Main Street. Other than that, it's been pretty much you walk into the stores. There's a counter in there, you know, counting each person that's coming up. Man, there are so many Indy Speedway cars going on. That kid just bumped his mom in the car. That's not cool, man. That's not cool. I did the same many, many, many times. But not cool. Not cool. Now I look back on those years and I want to apologize to my mom and my father. It was probably, you know what? I probably did my dad more often than not. And my sister. I crashed a lot of cars on the Indy Speedway. We don't need to talk about that right now. But when it comes to the stores, you know, the Emporium, that's probably the most difficult place to physically distance. But you just got to be smart about it. You got to be smart about it. There's arrows on the ground. Each location has now entrance and exit points. So you can no longer enter and exit through any door. There are only, you know, designated doors that you enter through. Designated doors that you exit through. I know we're talking about a lot of procedural things, and we're going to get to the good stuff in a little bit. The atmosphere, how the cast members are, who should go to the parks. But I just wanted to talk about this because if we get these out of the way first, then we know we're going to have to do this, then our time is just going to be so much easier in the parks. So those are all great. Those are interesting. In the attraction lines, you'll see the same sort of markers, and it's actually a fun game playing, you know. Oh, I wonder what the party in front of me, are they going to get to this marker? Or are we going to get to the other marker? Stuff like that. So I found that, like, if you just play the game of, okay, I got to see which one they go to, and then I got to get to the right one in time. I don't want to, you know, be too close to them. I don't want to be too close to the party behind me. It's a fun game. But for the most part, you know, the lines are moving quickly. So you go from one marker to the next, and that's how you kind of measure your pace in line, which is cool. And the attraction lines themselves, they're going to look a little weird. You know, Buzz Lightyear was weird. You almost immediately see Buzz first, and then you kind of wind back and forth. There are barriers up in between those sections, so it's interesting to see those things. Same thing goes with something like the Haunted Mansion. You know, you might not be able to see some pre-show features. The stretching room, you're no longer stopping. You're proceeding through the stretching room. The narration is still going and stuff, but there's a line, a queue in the stretching room that you walk through, which makes sense. And I think that that's kind of the case at a lot of places that have pre-show things. So think about like Aerosmith. That's another thing. Tower of Terror. That's another thing. Dinosaur, personal favorite. That's another thing. But I'll be honest, you know, as someone who's seen the pre-show all the time, I'm cool with it just because I know it's a physical distancing thing, but also it keeps the line moving at a steady clip. There's never you wait for a few minutes and then you move a lot and then you stop for a few minutes and then you move a lot. You're just pretty much consistently moving, which is great. Looks can be deceiving as well with these attraction lines. You know, it's quite common to see the queues stretching out beyond the attraction now. Still with social distancing markers up on the main sidewalks and things, but even though, you know, it might seem like there's a lot of people in line, you got to think, if that line was filled, you know, completely, then yeah, it would be a long wait. But what you're actually seeing is maybe an eighth of the amount of people just over a larger space. So because there's, you know, a buffer zone of 6 feet in front of you, 6 feet behind you, sometimes it's even more because they're taking into account the people to your left and right in the queue so that you can maintain physical distancing in the 6-foot radius. there's so fewer people in line that the looks can be deceiving. If the line is going out beyond the attraction, it's still going to go pretty quickly. You know, I rode Pirates of the Caribbean yesterday, posted 40-minute wait. I got in line outside the attraction, and I was riding within less than 20 minutes. It was even closer to 15. So just keep those sorts of things in mind. And overall, you know, the wait times have been quite low as well, which is, it's pretty epic. When it comes to food, mobile ordering is going to be your new best friend. The procedure is pretty much the same if you've done mobile ordering before. The only difference is they kind of ask that you place your mobile order and then wait outside the restaurant. You'll get a notification that says it's ready, and it'll tell you what line to go to. It used to be just go to the mobile order window, but now everything, the vast majority of stuff, is mobile ordering. So it'll say go to lane 5 and pick it up there. I did Pecos Bills yesterday. Super simple process. Now if you're a day guest as well, you get to pay with things like Apple Pay, so you don't have to charge it back to your room, which is great. I set up my credit card and I can pay for whatever I want via mobile ordering. Super simple to use. And even in Pecos, you know, I was talking to one of the cast members and they said, yeah, just come, you know, up when you're ordering. And we have areas with those green circles where you and your party can wait inside for your order to be prepared as well, which is cool. And it's important because it's hot out, you know, it's really hot. But overall, it's still an easy system to do. And you know, even though the app might say wait outside the restaurant, and a cast member might say, no, we have areas for you to wait inside, it can be a little confusing, but just know this process is constantly evolving. With all of this, it's constantly evolving. It's uncharted territory for Disney in so many aspects. So that's just something to keep in mind. Things can always change. Nothing is concrete. I will say the one unfortunate thing about my entire experience so far has been it's tough to find seating because every other table can't have people sitting there so that physical distancing can still operate. So yesterday at Pecos Bills, I basically had to just walk outside, find a random table from another restaurant from Tortuga Tavern, which is way up a ways. So that can be a challenge, but you know, you still get food quick. It's not like super difficult to get those sorts of things, but it's good. It's easy to use, and mobile ordering is still super, super simple, very quick. Here at the Magic Kingdom, I believe Casey's Corner is closed, Tortuga Tavern is closed as well. But, you know, you can get Pecos Bills, you can get Cosmic Rays, Columbia Harbor House. I'm not sure. I'll have to double check that. But it's easy. It's all easy. You know, the amount of people in stores, that's the difficult part, I think, maintaining physical distancing. But overall, everything is pretty easy. And it's as user-friendly as they can be. It's an always evolving system. Like I said, things will change. But if you've lived in this world for the last 4 months, you understand what's going on with masks, with social distancing, things like that. When it comes to those masks, you know, I shared on my Facebook Live and I shared on Facebook as well. There's signage everywhere. There's cast members reminding everyone to wear their masks, to keep them up. I've only seen one or two instances where someone was eating a Mickey bar and walking. Now the procedure is, if you're eating or drinking, you have to remain completely stationary to remove your mask to do that, which is good, and it makes sense. And cast members are good about reminding people to do that. One of my favorite additions has been the social distancing squad. These are cast members who are wearing yellow shirts throughout the parks. And I think they're some of their best cast members because they're so bubbly, they're so full of life. But their idea is they're just roaming the parks and looking for groups of people, things like that. Case in point, I was getting on the Haunted Mansion. The line extended almost to the riverboat. But again, I only waited 10 minutes in that line before I rode. But a whole bunch of people just kind of went that way randomly, you know. this guy who was a social distancing squad cast member, he like ran over there from somewhere. He was super energetic, super friendly. He was like, hey, let's just make sure everybody, we're maintaining physical distancing. How you guys doing? What's going on? Talking to everyone. Yeah, let's keep that 6 feet there, 6 feet there. You know, just making sure everything is good, but doing it in a friendly and awesome way. And that guy was, he was working it. He was running down to Frontierland, up to Liberty Square, doing it with a smile on his face. And I say smile on his face because even though we're wearing masks, I know he was smiling, which is interesting. I think it's all in the eyes. It's all in your energy. Keep that in mind when you're talking to cast members, but I could sense that he was smiling, which is awesome. So that social distancing squad telling you to do that, having, you know, reminding guests, being friendly about it. It's very cool. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a hand sanitizer station around here. But also, just as equally, there are hand washing stations as well, so you don't have to go to the bathrooms. They're just kind of set up. They have hoses with water attached to them and mechanisms where you can touch pedals with your feet to dispense soap, to dispense water, things like that. Trash can lids are open, so you don't have to touch the trash can lids. Signage everywhere, like I'm saying, spiels constantly. You might hear a spiel every once in a while, but the narration basically just takes over all of the Magic Kingdom, all the theme parks, and says, please wear your mask, please physical distance, all that stuff. Constantly reminding people, which is good. And it's not an intrusive sort of fashion, you know, it's a friendly reminder along the way so that we can maintain this safety that Disney is trying to uphold, which is awesome. Which is very, very cool. Procedures-wise, that's pretty much it. You know, it's just all about being smart, and it's all about understanding that in order for you to have a good time on your trip, you have to follow these. I say rules, but I mean, they're simple. They're simple actions. Wash your hands always, things like that. You know, one other thing I'll throw in, high-touch areas. There's so many more custodial cast members out and about. I mean, there always were a ton of custodial cast members, but now it just seems like there's so many more. Constantly wiping down areas anywhere and everywhere. I'm sitting at a table right now. As soon as I stand up, I know a custodian's going to come up, wipe it down, do that. They're just kind of constantly roaming. Attractions are kind of the same way. It's kind of on a schedule of when they clean them, but when I did the riverboat, the Liberty Square riverboat, we didn't get on until they cleaned all the hand rails and stuff. You can hear the spieling going on right now, too. So that spiel happens like every 15 minutes or something, but it's just a good reminder. Back to the custodians, you know, and things like the riverboat, you know, with each stop, they wash down all the handrails, all the high touch points as well. On a thing like Buzz Lightyear, you know, where you're touching stuff, you're touching the gun and whatnot, hand sanitizer when you get on the ride, hand sanitizer when you get off the ride. So anytime I've seen one, I've really just been doing that. It's all about being smart. It's all about knowing what you got to do. And Disney has the procedures in place that make it so simple, but also don't make it obtrusive so that it's ruining the magic, which I think is a weird thing to want to talk about, you know, the magic at a crazy time like now. But that's the reason we come to these places. When I started this, you know, I said, welcome home, welcome back. And it's super important for me to be back here. It's important that I know I'm in a safe place, that I'm being safe, that I'm helping others be safe. But I also know that Disney's looking out for me. As their guests, which is important, and it's great, and it's just awesome to be back. I think I'm going to get up now. I'm going to walk over to Frontierland. Frontierland, I think, is my favorite land in all of Magic Kingdom. I just love it. Maybe we'll pick a rocking chair out. We'll talk about the atmosphere, what it's like being here in the parks. So instead of chilling on Frontierland, I decided to make my way over to Tom Sawyer Island. I can't tell you the last time I was here. It's been many, 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 many years. But I just thought, you know, what the hey? Let's come over here. And it's awesome. You guys gotta come over here. It's peaceful, but there's also so much to see. Like, there's Fort Langhorne, there's mills, there's all these things you can explore. And I think it's a very off the beaten path sort of thing to do. You know, where I'm sitting on this dock, it's quiet, but you're gonna hear the Liberty Square riverboat go by. You're gonna hear Big Thunder Mountain Railroad cruising past us, just a few feet away, across from the rivers of America. But I really, really enjoy this place, and I'm definitely gonna be adding this to the rotation more and more. Aunt Polly's isn't really open, but you know, no big deal in that regard. So atmosphere. Let's talk about what the parks feel like. For me, I don't think really much has changed. My first day when I left the Magic Kingdom, one of the final cast member I saw said, "So, what was your favorite attraction you did today?" And I said, "You know what? Just being here was my favorite part." And she said, "I totally get it. I totally understand." And for you opinioneers out there, you probably are in the same boat as me. It's not going to be, coming back isn't going to be, I'm so excited to ride Big Thunder Mountain. I'm so excited to get back on Splash Mountain. So excited to come over to the Tom Sawyer Island, whatever it is. It's going to be being here in our happy place. And, you know, we might be putting on more hand sanitizer. We might be wearing masks. We might be a little farther apart from our fellow guests, but being here, that's still the same. I still get the same feeling. I got a little verklempt walking down Main Street for the first time. The idea of being here, and just feeling that presence, that's my favorite part. So for me, not much has changed from an atmosphere perspective. There are new things, but there's always new things when you come to Disney World. You might not have parades or fireworks, but it's still awesome. These cavalcades that they do that are kind of unannounced, and they're just one or two floats. You know, one might be all the princesses, and one might be led by Merida with riding a horse. It might be, you know, Mickey and Minnie and Donald and Goofy singing Move It, Shake It, Mouse Could Dance at one of the hottest tracks in all the land. Still, I still stand with that track. But seeing that and seeing them unannounced almost enhances the magic, because you never know when it's going to happen. They happen a lot, by the way, but the reason they're not scheduled is so that you don't just get people congregating, you know, to see those things. But even the character quote-unquote meet and greets, you know, I see the Country Bears like on top of the Country Bear Jamboree, which is awesome. Buzz Lightyear did the same thing out in Tomorrowland. I've seen the Evil Stepsisters, you know, up on Cinderella Castle. It's interesting how they're doing all that, and you get to snap a selfie, and they'll pose for you. The Country Bears, Big Al posed for me when I took a photo of him on top of the Country Bear Jamboree, the balcony there. So it's cool, and it's cool to see them interacting. Things are different, but the magic is still there for me, and I believe that. The cast members are happy. You can tell that. You know, I mentioned it before. You might not be able to see them smile, but I know they're smiling. They're saying, "Hello, welcome back. Thanks for being here." They're bubbly, which is really, really, really cool. And I know I keep saying that it's really, really, really cool and it's awesome, but I just believe that. It's been a crazy last few months all over the world. So to have some semblance of normalcy, to have some, you know, idea of what used to be, and coming here to our happy place, I love it. I really, really love it. And I love seeing people happy. Same goes for the guests. I've seen, you know, plenty of kids who are ecstatic to be here, who are laughing after getting off a ride, who are excited after getting off a ride. Families are the same way. They're snapping pictures and you can see that they're excited. They're happy to be back. And, you know, I know a lot of people out there are saying, it's sad because, you know, my pictures from the parks look so empty. You know, don't say that, because it's not sad here. As someone who is here with all the people that chose to be here today, it's not sad. It's just as good as it's ever been. It's just as happy. It's just as magical. It's different. But the people that are here today are enjoying it. And look, I totally understand, you know, you have to make your own decision. Disney didn't have to open. They didn't have to open their gates, but they chose to do so in a safe way because they knew it was important to a lot of people out there. It's very important to me. That's why I drove 12 hours so that I could experience the parks like this, because it's more than just a vacation place. It's a sense of my identity. And I think a lot of you guys understand that. So when you see pictures of an empty park, don't be sad, but be happy for those people that get to enjoy this place right now, because I think we all deserve to have a little fun considering the things that we've gone through. And it's in a safe and a respectable manner, which is very, very cool. Choosing to come is a decision that you need to make, but it's a decision that's up to you. And I don't fault anyone for not wanting to come. I get it. I also don't fault anyone for coming. It's personal. And for me, I made that decision. I'm very, very, very happy to be here, which is great. You might see people wearing masks, but you kind of forget about it. Just like I forget about, you know, people wearing Crocs in the parks or whatever it is. I'm not fronting Croc people. Croc people are cool people. But it is what it is. Wearing a mask is like wearing a t-shirt. But that sense of belonging, and it hit me when I drove under the gates. Welcome to Walt Disney World. That's still here. The, you know, butterflies I get when I walk in the park, that's still here. And there's very, very few things that can change that. And I hope you guys kind of understand that. When I'm walking around the parks and you're hearing the background noise of people laughing, of people excited to be here, of having a good time, it's important that Disney World is open right now. It really, really, really is for a lot of people out there. We've gone through a lot. And having this little bit of an escape is cool. I mentioned it on the podcast with Brendan and Catherine when they, you know, came to Annual Pass Preview Day for Magic Kingdom. I said, you know, Disney World used to be a place where we would escape reality and where reality wouldn't exist. Right now, there's never been a time in history of the Disney parks where there's more reality in the parks. Social distancing, face masks, hand sanitizing, social distancing squads. We feel COVID-19 in the parks. But it's still an escape, and it's a much needed escape. I love being here. I get energized, and I'm just as energized now as I've ever been. There were some rough months there, of course, but coming back to the magic, seeing cast members happy, seeing guests happy, me feeling happy means the world to me. And knowing that I also feel safe, and I also feel respected as a guest, and I feel respected by the other guests in the parks, It's great. It really, truly is amazing. I'm not trying to convince you guys to come here, you know. I'm not. You know, my pictures of empty parks and low wait times and me having fun in the parks, it's not to say you need to be here. It's merely just me showing that we're going to get through this. If Disney World is getting back to normal and people are having fun, it's okay to have fun too, in whatever way that you can. In whatever way that you can. And the atmosphere here is fantastic. It's remarkable. And it's needed. It is much needed. I'm so happy. I'm going to be here for a while. I'm going to go to the other parks. I hope to take you guys along for the ride as well. As Thunder Mountain rolls past us one last time, I think I'm going to explore Tom Sawyer Island a little bit more. But then I'm going to head to Main Street. And I'm going to wrap things up. I'm going to wrap things up by telling you, you know, who should come here. Who shouldn't. And just kind of put a cap on a great, great day.
Okay, little change of plans. No Main Street to end the segment. I decided I wanted to take a little bit and I wanted to think about it. So I took about a day to kind of process my time in the park. And I wanted to really think about who should come to the parks right now. I wanted to think who would really benefit from coming to the parks right now and who might not benefit from coming to the parks right now. So who should come to the parks right now? You know, I could easily answer that question and say what most people are saying. You know, I could say, if you have an important trip coming up, you shouldn't go. You know, if it's one of those trips where it's an anniversary, it's a special event, you shouldn't go. If you have a once-in-a-lifetime trip, you shouldn't go. This was going to be it. This was going to be the big, gigantic trip you've always been planning for. Then you shouldn't go. If you're only ever going to go to Walt Disney World once in your life, then this should not be the time and you should go later. I could have said all that and I could have been done with it. And it would have made sense because with the restrictions in place, with things being closed, with no normal character meet and greets, no parades, no fireworks, very few live shows, it would be easily justifiable to say that. To say for all of those people out there who have a once-in-a-lifetime trip, a super important trip, this is the one time they're ever going to go to Walt Disney World, I could easily say, don't go. Don't go. There's too many restrictions in place. It's not going to be worth it. And so many other people are saying that, and I totally, totally understand why everyone else is saying that. But as I've thought about it for a little bit, I don't think I'm going to say that. I'm not going to say you shouldn't go. Right now, instead, I believe that the people who should go to Walt Disney World are the people who can manage expectations. And this is, you know, considering that you're comfortable flying, you're comfortable driving across states, you're comfortable getting to Walt Disney World. And then within that, you're comfortable interacting with people, you're comfortable wearing a mask, you're comfortable in this area filled with people, right? In this COVID area, era that we're living in. If you're comfortable with all that, and you're willing to go to Walt Disney World, then who am I to say, right now, it's not the time for you to go? I can totally guide you down that path, and I can say, you know, if you're only going to go to see character meet and greets, and you're only going to go because you want to see the parades and the fireworks, then yeah, maybe this isn't going to be the trip for you. But if you can manage your expectations, and you know these are the things that are going to be closed, these are the things we're not going to see, These are the things we have to do in order to have a vacation. Not to have a good vacation, but these are the things, like wearing masks, like socially distancing, like getting park pass reservations. These are the things we have to do to have any trip at all. If you're okay with that and you can manage your expectations with that, then I think right now is the perfect time for you to go to Walt Disney World. On top of all this, the world needs a vacation. There's no doubt about that. I know I do, especially. But there are so many other people out there who have faced greater adversity in this COVID era than I have. And I totally understand that. And I know that people are just really, really wanting to get out and do something. Even with all the things at Walt Disney World that might be closed, some attractions here, some character meet and greets, parades, and fireworks. If you can take all that, compartmentalize it, not think about it. But no, you're going to go to your happy place. You're going to go to a place that has really low crowds. Because like I was saying, the crowds are very low. And it's really, really awesome. You're going to go to a place where you can still see the characters you love in an interesting format. Whether it's the country bears on top of their balcony, the evil stepsisters interacting with guests from the balcony of Cinderella Castle. Buzz Lightyear was doing, you know, selfies on the Tomorrowland Plaza stage. Things like that, character cavalcades. If you're okay with that, and you can manage those expectations, then right now is the perfect time to go to Walt Disney World. It's a crazy time we're living in, obviously. And it's especially crazy because it's affected Walt Disney World so much. I still think it's an awesome time to go. Because when you're in the parks, it feels great. It really, really, really does. And this is from me, and this is from my other friends that have been down there, that have been in the parks many, many, many times since it opened just a few weeks ago. They're all saying the same thing, and they continue to go into the parks. I haven't seen a single person who lives in the Orlando area who's a local who went just once to the Disney parks and said, yeah, not digging it, because they know what to expect. They know they have to wear masks. They know they have to social distance. They know they have to do all of this. But that atmosphere is still there. You might not be able to see the smiles through the masks, but there's something in everyone's eyes. You can tell when a cast member is smiling at you. You can tell when a guest is smiling after they get off an attraction. That's all really, really, really important. And I'm very grateful that I got to experience all this. For as insane as it is, I'm very, very grateful that I got to experience it. And I think for you out there, if you can manage expectations and you need a break, and I know there's a lot of people who probably need a break, right now is the perfect time to head down to Walt Disney World. So there you go. You know, I wanted to take some time to process that response because I know it is super important to share my honest opinions with you guys. I can't say, you know, you're going to have the greatest trip of your entire life. But I also can't say this trip is going to be truly, truly, truly awful if you go. It's a Disney trip at the end of the day. It may look a little different on paper, but the feelings that you get are very, 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 very similar, if not exactly the same as a normal trip to Walt Disney World. So I just wanted to take the time to process that and let you guys know that, and let you guys know that I truly believe that. And it's cool. It's really, really cool. Like I said, you know, I'm in Orlando for an extended period because of how important the parks are to me. And I feel especially now they're really important to me. And I hope to take you guys into the parks more and more. This was fun for me, and I hope this was fun for you too. I know this episode is the sort of episode I would enjoy to listen to as a Disney World fan myself. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. If there were any questions that, you know, I didn't answer, but you're wondering about it, you want to plan a vacation or something like that, and you have questions about what these reopened theme parks look like, reach out to me at Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at wdwopinion.com. Let me know any questions you have, and I'd be happy to answer them for you. There's so many different things to take into consideration, and you know, it's just me. I'm a single 20-something man, so I know, you know, you might have different questions if you're, you know, a couple, if you're a family, whatever it is, but I would be more than willing to help answer any questions you might have. So email me again at Connor, C-O-N-O-R at WDWopinion.com, and I'd be happy to answer all of those questions for you. So that's why I took it back into the home I'm staying in, just so that I could process that last response and give it to you guys in a different manner. But to close it out, let's transport back to the Magic Kingdom and listen to some more sounds I captured from my adventure there. Now's the time of the show where I ask for your help, and people always love helping the show out. And there are three simple things you can do to help WDW Opinion. You can review and subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts. You can join our Opinioneers community on Facebook, and you can share the show with someone you think might be interested in listening as well. The first thing you can do is leave a review of the show and subscribe to the show over on Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts, still the number one app, podcast streaming platform. And with each new review and each new subscriber, Apple will start suggesting the show to more people. As we become more popular, Apple will notice that and share it to other people so that we can continue to become more popular. With that, our community will grow. And more importantly, we love hearing from opinioneers who listen to the show, so reviews help with that as well. And really, with each new review, not only does it help the show, but it just brings a smile to my face, seeing that there are people out there who are enjoying the show. So thank you so much to everyone who has left reviews in the past. If you want to leave a review, head over to wdwopinion.com/review to learn how to leave one. It's super easy to do and will only take 30 seconds of your time to complete, but it will help us out a lot. And of course, future reviews will be read on the show. The second thing you can do is by joining the Opinioneers Facebook group at wdwopinion.com/opinioneers. That's O-P-I-N-I-O-N-E-E-R-S. That's where the WDW Opinion community meets. And you're an Opinioneer just for listening to this show, and we want you to connect with your fellow Disney fanatics. So join that community and get connected to other Disney fans. Then finally, you can share the show with someone who you think might enjoy it. Word of mouth, it's still probably the most powerful tool out there from a growth standpoint. So if you know of any friends, family, colleagues, coworkers, whoever it might be, they're planning a trip or they love Walt Disney World, and you think they would, you know, enjoy listening to the show, share it with them. That would be so awesome if you could do that. Those three simple things, that's what you can do to help, and it will go a long way. Additionally, remember that we go live on Facebook every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern as we talk about the latest Walt Disney World news in News to Opinion, and we also take part in our Disney Plus Movie Club during that live stream. This week, we will be talking about Waking Sleeping Beauty, which is a fantastic documentary on Disney Plus. It's all about the Disney Renaissance in the 90s when the Disney animation department could not be stopped. I absolutely love that film. You got to check it out. And we'll be talking about it during the Disney Plus Movie Club segment of the WDW Opinion live show. So be sure to watch that film, Waking Sleeping Beauty, and then head over to wdwopinion.com/live at Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern to chat with your fellow opinioneers. Also, be sure to turn on notifications on the WDW Opinion Facebook page, because as I am in Orlando for an extended period of time, I'll be going live from the parks more and more. I did it on Friday when I was in Magic Kingdom. I was hot and sweaty and I almost died at the end of it, but I loved taking you guys along for a journey in the theme park. So it's cool to take you guys into the parks more and more and more. So definitely keep your eyes out for that, as I could go live at any point in time. And of course, if there is ever anything I could do to help you, I am more than happy to try and do so. Just reach out to me at Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at wdwopinion.com if you have any questions or need anything at all. I'd love to hear from you. And that's going to do it for us this week. If you liked what you heard today, then you've been listening to the WDW Opinion Podcast. If by chance you didn't like what you heard, then you've been listening to Blood Ties. I've been Connor Brown, and until next time, keep hashtag LTD, living the dream, and I'll see you real soon.